They kind of messed up my stage, huh? A little bit. I'm going to have to get out here. They say I can't speak long, so I'm going to be quick, all right? So just wanted to share a couple little things with y'all. Wish you a Merry Christmas. And then after I share just a couple minutes, our youth band's going to come and sing a couple for us, several. And then our praise band will come back because it's supposed to be casseroles and carols, right? Did y'all know that? If you didn't know that, that's why everything's different today. Can y'all see this one? Luke chapter 1 is something that we refer to as the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. You know, it's kind of amazing. Steve had mentioned something, and I didn't hear it, about one of the speakers that was speaking something against the wall and was using Jesus as a reference, I guess, not to have a wall. Did they overlook the fact that you couldn't just go anywhere you wanted to even then? You know, you had to have papers, you know, just like when we were in Mexico, you don't just go over there and stay or they'll arrest you. You have to, it costs you to stay there. I know for a fact because we were there for 2 years, but exactly the same thing. So when people start, I'm not supposed to be political at Christmas, I'm sorry. People just don't ever, they're not consistent. You know, they'll pull this out and they won't tell the whole story. And he's trying to use Jesus as a reason not to have some kind of a way to account for a responsibility. And Jesus himself was submitted to this very same thing. Yeah, but they don't talk about that. And Joseph also went up from Galilee of the city of Nazareth into Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, this could take place that we celebrate as Christmas, the birth of Jesus, because of these two verses that were penned 700 years earlier by Isaiah. I'm sorry, I forgot I put 13 and 14. And certainly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And it's because of these two verses that we have the Christmas story. Because Isaiah 700 years ago, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, if you remember, we looked at chapter 7 and chapter 9. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wow. It's at this time of the year that a lot of atheists, a lot of people, you know, they play down the very fact that we think God was born in the flesh, in an abnormal way because he did not have an earthly father. And it's amazing because they try to tell us that the universe came from the very same thing that we're saying God entered to us from. Look at this real quick. Everyone believes in a virgin birth. You said, oh, no, not those people. Yes, they do. I'm fitting to show you how they do. And it's at this time of year, unless this fact was true, that Jesus' father was not Joseph, but it was God, supernaturally, born that in that manner. If that is not it, then Christianity is not different than any other world religion. You know, by the way, even Islam, who is anti-Christian, in the Quran, in Surah 19:19, says that Jesus was born of a virgin. Even they quote that. Muhammad's never, they never say Muhammad was born supernaturally. But they say Jesus was, but you know, they don't see that he's God. Look at this. Why is it the virgin birth awfully is the most problematic miracle for anyone to accept? Oh, no, we just can't accept that. Why is it more troubling than Jesus walking on the water or multiplying the loaves? If he could do that, why couldn't he be born of a virgin? Supernaturally, God come into the picture. Perhaps because we're content to let God do as he pleases with his own body, and we're delighted to receive some of the things that he provides for us. But we are offended by the thought of a miracle that inconveniences us, that has potential to disrupt our plans and our preferences. And that's it. But you know what? Everyone, evolutionist, atheist, when you look at their naturalistic explanation of how the world began, they believe in a miracle just like we believe in a miracle. Look what they say. Peter Singer, one of the most influential atheists, when asked this question, why are we here? You know, what is mankind even doing on the earth? How do we get here? What are we about? Look at his answer. We can assume that somehow in the primeval soup, we got collections of molecules that became self-replicating. And I don't think we need any miraculous or mysterious explanation. Wait a minute. You just had a mud hole out here, and all of a sudden molecules got the ability to duplicate and evolve to where we are now, so we don't need any other explanation? How does somehow getting self-replicating molecules in the primeval not count as a mysterious explanation? Is that far-fetched? Is it any more far-fetched than us believing that there was a God outside of us, outside of this universe that came? So, you know, if you can believe in evolution, with all the holes in that theory, you can believe in the facts of Christianity, if you really want to. But what did we say earlier? When it starts to inconvenience us and what we want to do, then we start bucking it. We celebrate this year, this time of year, as God coming into our system for us, outside of us. And we refer to it because, you know, unfortunately, in our day and time, so many so-called Christians say, oh, no, Jesus was not born of a virgin. Joseph was his father. Then he's no different than you and I. And therefore, he could not be an absolute perfect sacrifice for us if that's true. But even these guys, they're believing something that takes just as much of a miraculous explanation. He said, oh, no, we don't need to explain that. It just happened. Isn't that right? Primordial soup just happened one day, boiling up, bubbling up, and people came out of it. Well, we started as monkeys, though, right? Cambridge physicist Stephen Hawking attempted to propose an atheistic explanation for our universe. Probably one of the smartest guys that's ever lived on the earth, right? This is what he says. The universe can and will create itself from nothing. But we can't say God created everything from nothing. Oh, no. Spontaneous creation is the reason there's something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists, why we exist. It just kind of happened out of nothing, spontaneous. Wow. Does physical matter normally just materialize out of, does money just materialize into your pocket out of nothing? Hello? Have you ever been standing there and just see out in the open air from nothing, here's something came? But that's how the smartest man on the earth says, oh, yeah, that's what happened. That's what it is. So the account also presents itself as outside of the realm of the ordinary. But if we say God out of the ordinary came at this time of year in the person of Jesus, oh, we're nuts. But they say that's how the universe came. Is this really any less miraculous a birth than the story of Jesus? Is it? Oh, no. They're believing in a miracle, but we can't believe in our miracle. That's what they say. The prominent atheist Quentin Smith states this fact. The fact of the matter is that the most reasonable belief is that we came from nothing, by nothing, for nothing. Boy, that gives you a lot of hope, doesn't it? We should acknowledge, he continues, we should acknowledge our foundation in nothingness, and feel awe at the marvelous fact that we have a chance to participate briefly in this incredible sunburst that interrupts without reason the reign of non-being. Boy, that's a miracle. But we're crazy to believe that God stepped out of the ordinary. They can take all this and believe it's, well, this is not ordinary. It's a miraculous thing. But they look at us like we're crazy if we say, oh, yeah, there's really a God that had a purpose for us, that knew all about us, that still has a plan for us, and we. But we're crazy. Isn't that amazing? It is not at all clear why a foundation in nothingness should be viewed as comparatively more reasonable than a foundation in God. But if you hear them talk, oh, yeah, these Christians are crazy. When they say, where did it come from? Out of nothing. Nothing for nothing for no reason. Which virgin birth do we choose to accept? Oh, they believe in a virgin birth of the universe. Out of the explainable, because we don't need to explain it. It's just extraordinary. It happened by spontaneous soup bubbles. But we're crazy to believe that really was a God throughout history that is recorded for us how and why he did some things for our behalf. Let's do not lose sight this Christmas. We celebrate Christmas as God coming in out of the ordinary for us. We can believe in the virgin birth of an atheistic universe that is indifferent to us. Oh, we just, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, we're just something that happened. We don't have any meaning. No, we just go and come, you know, nothing to it. A universe where there is, at bottom, no really design, no real purpose, no real reason, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifferences. That's one option we have. Or we can believe in the virgin birth of a God who loves us so deeply that he came to be born among us and to live beside us, to call us his own and allow us to be a part of his family. Let's not forget that through the season. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that you're beyond our comprehension. If we could comprehend everything that you've done, then we would be right on your level. Lord, thank you that you're greater than us. Thank you that you chose to provide for us what we needed when we couldn't do it ourselves. We ask your blessings upon everything else we do today for your glory, to draw our attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen.